Foul Ball Area brings you more interviews.
We come to win at every game. We just play the game and have fun.
More analysis.
It's top notch. It's exactly what you want to do. Any opportunity that you get to score a run, you have to take advantage of it.
And more excitement than anywhere else.
I'm excited. You should be too. It's going to be fun.
Stay up to date with all of your RCBL action with the Foul Ball Area podcast every Wednesday at rcbobaseball.com. Welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area podcast, the official podcast of the Rockingham County Baseball League. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Nick Stevens is with me again this week as we're going to bring you up to speed on everything going on in the RCBL. Nick, how you doing this week?
Pretty good. Pretty tired. Got in late last night from a couple of games at Camden Yards last night, but ready to talk some baseball.
Yeah, it looks like you weren't at a doubleheader yesterday for the Orioles.
Yeah, you know, Orioles having one of the worst seasons probably in the history of Major League Baseball. So I saw the Yankees coming into town. Never seen them live. So thought, hey, doubleheader, let's see what the ticket prices are like. And astronomically cheap. So it was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. I was there to say my goodbyes to Manny Machado, Adam Jones, and see, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton live for the first time.
Yeah, it seems like with the way the Orioles season is going, the main reason most Orioles fans would go to a game is to see the other team this year.
That was pretty much it. Went to watch them go play the Angels, to see Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, and then the Yankees to see their star-studded lineup. So, but it's always a good time to go up to Camden Yards. Always love it, no matter how bad the team is.
I know last week on the podcast we were talking about the 4th of July, and I was going down to Richmond to see the Flying Squirrels. And you told me that it was an old stadium, but that's what made it unique. So I liked it. I thought it was, you know, it is an old stadium, but I thought it was still a good stadium for being what it is.
It's classic stadium. I mean, I remember going back when they were the Richmond Braves.
Yeah.
It's fun to see the new teams come in. I think the talent out there they have, you know, it's the Giants double A. So yeah. Like, you get to see some interesting guys that you won't see up when they get to the big leagues.
Yeah, I was reading their game program, and it had, like, the players that had made the major leagues. Like, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, they all came through there. So some good talent coming through Richmond. But it was. I thought it was a pretty good stadium. You know, the view wasn't that nice. Like a parking lot out behind center field. It's not like if you're at Montezuma or Clover Hill, it's not like that kind of view.
Yeah, it's downtown of Richmond. I don't know how much of a view. But no, it kind of feels just like a classic stadium to go watch a baseball game in.
It was fun. The game was not good. I think they were playing Akron. Akron won 8-0. It was 1-0 until the 8th inning. Then they scored 7 runs, so it wasn't a very good game, but it was a fun time down in Richmond. But we've got a lot of RCBL action to bring you up to speed on this week, starting with, well, Nick, you were at 3 Broadway games this week, so you're pretty much the Broadway beat reporter right now. What do you have,
I feel like.
What do you have to report on the Bruins this week? How did they do?
You know, I was impressed with them. The opponents they had, they took on Montezuma twice, and they took on Clover Hill. They took down Montezuma both times they played them. Strong offense. They struggled against Clover Hill. I think that was 9-0 that game. They kind of struggled against Kevin Chandler there on the mound. But, you know, even without Logan Morrison and the talent that Broadway's losing, up and down that lineup, these guys, I was thinking about it. There's not like you watch a new market and you see guys kind of burst out onto the scene for a couple of games and they get a couple wins, put up 20 runs a game. But Broadway's doing it consistently up and down that lineup. They've got like 5 or 6 regulars hitting like over 315, 320 right now, I think. So that's what stood out to me the most.
Yeah, we should mention, like you said, Logan Morrison of the Broadway Bruins getting called up to the Valley League. He'll be playing for the Front Royal Cardinals. Team president Brian Duff announced that on the Play Ball show this past Saturday. So congratulations to Logan Morrison. That's 2 players now from Broadway getting the move up to the Valley League. Morrison along with Gavin Kendrick. He went to the Strasburg Express a few weeks ago. So pretty big stuff for the players out there in Broadway. And the team, you know, you would think when a team is losing players that are this good and this influential to their team, it would be, you know, kind of sad to the team. But they have nothing but good things to say for them. They just say how happy they are, how excited they are for the opportunities that these players have, because it is a big opportunity getting to play in the Valley League.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. You hate to see him go, especially, you know, a guy like Logan Morrison, hoping to see like Logan Morrison versus Clover Hill or Logan Morrison versus Chris Lalk in the playoffs or something like that. But, you know, he's a rising sophomore, I think he was, in college when I looked him up. And so for him to get a chance in the Valley League, maybe get some eyeballs on him, and whether you're playing in a high-profile circuit out in California or Texas, or you're playing in a cornfield Montezuma, like, people are watching you, so never know what could happen with him.
in my opinion, I think he was on his way to being named Pitcher of the Year in the RCBL.
No doubt.
But now I think that there's a new candidate for Pitcher of the Year, Chris Locke, who you mentioned, of Elkton. He had a phenomenal game the other night, Sunday night, against Newmarket. It was a 6-1 win for Elkton. It was a pitcher's duel most of the game. It was a pretty close game until the end of the game when Elkton scored 4 runs in 1 inning. They ended up winning 6-1. But Chris Locke had 16 strikeouts against the Shockers on Sunday night. A new season high for strikeouts in one game. The previous was 14 by Logan Morrison. But now Locke, 16 strikeouts in one game against Newmarket. And you've seen him pitch a couple times this season, right? He's the real deal.
He is. He's tall. He throws the ball hard. He keeps guys off balance for their entire at-bat. I think that's what Cody Swisher was telling me a couple weeks ago. He said, of all the pitchers this year, like, he's the guy from at-bat to at-bat, you have to change everything because you have no idea what you're going to get.
So he was just working the plate all night long. He said, I talked to him after the game, and he was just talking about where he was putting his pitches, what kind of pitches he was throwing, and how he was going about that game out there. 8 innings, 16 strikeouts for Elkton. We've got that interview for you with Chris Locke following the Blue Sox 6-1 win over Newmarket on Sunday night. So, big win tonight over Newmarket, 16 strikeouts in the game. I think that's the season high for one game. What were you feeling on the mound tonight?
I was just going to work, just trying to hit my spots, and they were aggressive swingers, so it kind of helped me out. I like the umpiring. They called the outside corner, so I kept hitting it. So,
what kind of pitches were you throwing out there tonight?
Mostly fastballs, but later in the game, tried to mix it up a little bit more, keep them guessing.
So with tonight's win, you guys are either tied or in first place. I'm not sure which, but how's that feel right now at this point in the season?
We still got a lot of work to do. We still got a lot of games coming up, and if we have a chance, we're going to have to really bear down and get the offense because pitching is going to be tough down the stretch.
This is your first season in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you end up with Elkton?
It was just a phone call. I just moved here from Omaha, but I grew up in Denver. I played a lot of ball out there, and I was just kind of looking for work, looking for someone to play with. So Elkton was the first contact I got, so that's who I picked.
How you liking it so far?
Pretty good. I like this league.
So that was Chris Locke following his 16 strikeout performance. He was named Pitcher of the Week for his performance, along with Tyler Mahone being named Player of the Week. Mahone had 3 home runs and 15 RBIs this past week. That's automatic Player of the Week right there.
I think he's been hitting the ball pretty solid. I think I went out when they played Clover Hill a couple of weeks ago. I think he had his first home run. I think ever since then, I've been keeping tabs on him. And you know, even games I haven't been at, checking those box scores, he's 2 or 3 hits every single night.
Yeah, he's been having a pretty good past couple of weeks, couple of games. I think he had, in their games last Monday and Tuesday night, he had like 6 or 7 straight at-bats with an RBI.
It's Bridgewater's heating up. That whole division there is unbelievable to watch.
The Reds had a pretty good matchup on Saturday night against Clover Hill. This one was at Buck Bowman Park. It's always a good matchup with those two teams, a little bit of a rivalry with the, you know, they're two of the oldest teams in the league, most storied teams in the league, and then they played in the finals last year. So it's a little bit of a rivalry. It's always a good atmosphere at Buck Bowman Park. And it was a good game. You know, it lived up to the hype. It was a back-and-forth game. The first runs came in the first inning. Then there were a couple of lead changes. Bridgewater didn't score the go-ahead runs until the top of the ninth on a 2-run double from Corbin Lucas. So Bridgewater taking the final regular season matchup against Clover Hill. Those two teams finished 2-2 against each other during the regular season. And it's very possible we could see them in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, up and down, them two teams in Broadway, they don't have any weakness in their lineup, I don't think. And just, yeah, that would be, you know, I know they played last year in the championship game, but when you go out to those games, my favorite thing when you're at a Clover Hill Bridgewater game is hearing a lot of the, especially the older fans, just love to rag on these players. It is a true rivalry. I remember, I think it was when Danny Grogg switched teams. He was at Bridgewater for a couple of years, and he came to Clover Hill. That first time they played was... The what the guys were talking about in the stands, especially the older fans, was interesting to say the least. They weren't afraid to hold back every time he came up to bat, and the cheers were a little bit louder every time he struck out.
Oh yeah, the other night, you know, out here at Clover Hill, the Bridgewater fans, they were really loud and vocal all night long, cheering on the Reds. I was there with my parents. My mom turns to me, she says, "You know, these Bridgewater fans are a lot more vocal than the Clover Hill fans here, and we're at Clover Hill." And I was like, "I don't really think so." couple at bats later, Clover Hill scores a couple runs, and their fans go crazy. All, you know, they have fans behind home plate, and then all the way down the first baseline, they're all cheering, going crazy. I was like, yeah, Mom, the Clover Hill fans are pretty loud too.
Yeah, the fans out here are – that's one of the best parts about this league is it doesn't matter what team you go to. You have that core group of fans that are every single game, and they truly love these guys and these teams.
That does make it fun to watch. It gives it the real hometown, homegrown baseball feel that we love. So after the game, Bridgewater and Clover Hill, Bridgewater ended up winning 8-6. I did catch up with Reds coach Robert Scherfe. Talked to him about that rivalry, about the game, and how they're feeling as we head into the last 3 weeks of the season. Big win over Clover Hill tonight, 8-6. What impressed you out of your team in tonight's game?
Battling to the end. Good at bats, like we always do. We never give up. We never quit until the end.
You know, with the little bit of a rivalry with you guys in Clover Hill, is this the kind of game you expect? You know,
close
game going at it? Like,
yes, always, at all times. We come here, they come to our place, it's always going to be a battle, and it's going to be a close game. You just got to play the game, play nine innings, and come out on top, and we did tonight, so very proud of the guys. They always battle to the end.
How big is this win with how close the division race is right
now? Big, very big. We're getting towards the wind down of it, I think two more weeks or so. So every game right now is critical because we're so close in the division within, I think, a game and a half, 2 games. So the top three is right there. It's anybody's go after it. So, hey, want to go after it, see where we end up.
Do you guys pay much attention to the division race, or you just worry about getting to the playoffs?
We just worry about it game by game. Yeah. We take it game by game. We don't worry about where it's at the end. It's where it's at.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thanks, sir.
That was Bridgewater coach Robert Scherfe following the Reds' 8-6 win over Clover Hill on Saturday night. Good Saturday night matchup at the Clover Dome between a couple of rivals. We had 3 games in action last night, games at Broadway, Bridgewater, and Clover Hill. Grottoes was at Broadway, Cardinals taking on the Bruins. The Cardinals ended up winning that game 8-0. Keegan Wolford had 1 hit on the night, finished the night 1-for-2, drew 3 walks, scored 2 runs for the Cardinals. Eli Lamb went 2-for-3 on the night with 3 runs scored and 2 walks. Starting pitcher Spencer Davis lasted 5 innings, gave up just 4 hits, no runs, and struck out 3 batters for Grottoes on their way to picking up an 8-0 win over Broadway, improving to 9-10 on the season. Elkton last night at Bridgewater, the Blue Sox had the lead for the majority of the game last night, but Tyler Bocock hit a walk-off grand slam in the bottom of the ninth, as Bridgewater won it 13-9. Bocock finished the night 4-for-4 with 3 runs and 5 RBIs. And the other game going on last night, Clover Hill hosting Montezuma. The Braves got out to an early lead in that one, scoring 2 runs in the top of the first, but those were the only runs they would score in the game, and Clover Hill would go on to score 10 runs. So Clover Hill winning the game 10-2 over Montezuma last night to improve to 15-4 on the season, stay in first place in the West. The standings as they are right now, Clover Hill, like I said, 15-4, first place in the Western Division. Bridgewater right behind them at 13-5. Broadway in third place at 14-6, and Montezuma rounding out the West at 3-16. In the Eastern Division, it's a really close race. All 4 teams are within 3 games of each other. Grottoes, 9-10 in first place. Elkton and Newmarket are each at 7-10, tied for second place, and Stewart's Draft rounding out the Eastern Division at 6-13. So those are the standings as they are right now in the RCBL. Tonight is Wednesday night. We've got a couple of games for you, 3 to be exact. Clover Hill at Stewart's Draft. That's always a good game. You know, the most championships of all time, most championships this decade. Always a good matchup when those 2 teams go at it. Elkton will be at Grottoes taking on the Cardinals. And Newmarket taking on Broadway at Broadway High School. My dad and I have came up with a little nickname for that series between Newmarket and Broadway. We call it the Timberville Tussle.
I like it.
Yeah, so that's a good matchup to watch. And I think that one can be a little bit of a rivalry with how close those 2 teams are.
Yeah, I mean, what I've noticed is you see a lot of those, being at the last 3 Broadway home games, you see a lot of the same fans, too. I think Newmarket was off a couple of those nights. And you saw a lot of the fans that you see regularly at Newmarket, you saw at Broadway just kind of hanging out, just cheering, watching one. They were cheering for Broadway, too, in those games. So,
yeah, they're close together. They've got, you know, a couple of players that have played for both teams. So it's a little bit of a budding rivalry between the Shockers and the Bruins. They'll be facing off at Broadway High School tonight, 7:30. Tonight's online broadcast, the online game of the week, will be at Stewart's Draft as the Bucks take on the Diamondbacks. That game will start at 7:30. You can listen to it right here at rcbobaseball.com. Should be a good one. Clover Hill and Stewart's Draft at the Diamond Club. Some other stuff going on in the baseball world, moving away from the RCBO for a little bit. The MLB All-Star Game is coming up next week, and the All-Star rosters were announced this past Sunday night. And me, as a Braves fan, I'm a little excited about this because there are four Braves players on the All-Star team, two starters and two reserves. It's a complete 180 from last year when I'm pretty sure Freddie Freeman was the only All-Star last year. And he's, you know, you have to have at least one All-Star from every team. So that I'm pretty sure that's why there was a Brave on the All-Star roster last year. But this year, four deserving players for the Braves made the All-Star roster, and I'm just ecstatic about that.
They're fun to watch. Honestly, I watch, you know, I cover the Orioles minor leagues. I also randomly cover the San Diego Padres for another website. Don't ask me how that got started. But, you know, in my free time, whenever there's, like, a day game, especially, like, I love watching Braves baseball. Ozzy Albies is fun to watch. Ronald Acuna is amazing to watch. That whole lineup, Nick Markakis is probably my favorite baseball player of all time, to be totally honest. I love that he's, what, the most games ever played without appearing in an All-Star game, and he's a starter this year. So.
Yeah. I think he got the most votes out of any outfielder in the National League because he's been having a phenomenal season. What is he, like, 33, 34 years old right now?
Yeah, he's been in the league for 10, 12 years or so, and he's just Mr. Consistent up and down the board.
So he's making his first All-Star appearance. That's really awesome seeing that. Freddie Freeman, of course, a starter for the NL All-Star team. Ozzy Albies ended up being a reserve because Javier Baez won out the National League second base vote, which, you know, Baez is a good player. He's deserving, but Albies having a really good season so far in his first full Major League season. And then Mike Foltynewicz, a reserve pitcher for the National League. And the how about the Orioles? They got one All-Star this year and probably, you know, one of the best players in the league, so it's kind of given that he'd be an All-Star.
Yeah, it's just Manny Machado. That was one of the bigger reasons, too, why I went last night, saying my goodbyes to him, because I figure he's going to get traded. But, yeah, I was even reading something that if he gets traded to an American League team, he's allowed to play in the All-Star game. But if he gets traded to a National League team, I know the Dodgers and Brewers are big on him right now, he's ineligible to play in the All-Star game, and the Orioles would have no representatives this year, which would be fitting.
And I guess you cover the Padres also, so what are the Padres All-Stars this season?
Padres had one. They're also really bad this year. They had Brad Hand, their closer, and a lot of people felt like he probably didn't even deserve to get in, and their only All-Star should have been their reliever, Kirby Yates. So that pretty much sums up what the Padres have been up to this season.
I don't know if I can even name any of the Padres starting players. You know, there was a couple years where they had some really good players. Like, is Will Myers still there?
Yeah, he's been hurt most of the year, but he's back. He actually hit I was up until 2 o'clock last night watching this game. He was the first player since, like, 1884, 1885. He hit three home runs, and the Padres still lost 20-5 to the Diamondbacks. So that sums everything up there on the West Coast.
You know who I am really surprised at this season is Matt Kemp, back with the Dodgers and having a phenomenal season. He got voted in as a starter in the outfield for the National League. He's been having a phenomenal season. He was with the Padres for a few years and then went to the Braves last year. Now he's back with the Dodgers. So Matt Kemp has really surprised me this season. He's having like a career resurgence this year in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I kind of like watching that. I like watching those guys that you kind of – a lot of people kind of get angry at them. They don't want them on the team anymore. And then, you know, it's all about – sometimes you could have – I look at a guy like the Orioles, like Jake Arrieta, who was terrible with the Orioles. He goes off to the Braves and wins a Cy Young in a World Series. So, you know, it's all about where you play, and sometimes things just click, and it's clicking for Kemp.
Of course, the Red Sox, with a lot of representation in the American League roster, Mookie Betts, a starter, J.D. Martinez, a starter, Mitch Moreland is a reserve, and a couple other reserves and pitchers for the Red Sox. So, of course, the best team in baseball is going to have some representation. I think the All-Star teams are pretty good this year, and I think it should be a good game, good whole All-Star weekend next week.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Futures game. Keep an eye out for that. When they do the U.S. versus the world, it's all the top prospects. A lot of huge talent in that game to keep an eye on, too, because I like watching the minor league guys and keeping up with those prospects, and that's where you go to catch some of the future talent, the next wave of guys.
I've never really watched that, but I've been hearing a lot more about it in recent years. I feel like people are hyping it up a lot more as a big event and really an event that should be included in the All-Star Weekend that like that you shouldn't overlook, that you should watch, you should pay attention to. So yeah. maybe I'll watch that. Keep an eye out for it this year.
Yeah, and you got guys like I had the realization of how old I'm getting when like one of the top names to watch in that Futures game would be Fernando Tatis Jr. And his dad played. And you got guys like him, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's been hurt. He's not playing in the game. But when you see your guys like that, you're like, man, I watched your dad hit home runs. and now here you are as one of the top players in the game. But, yeah, definitely check that game. I think it's next Sunday afternoon, I believe. But check that out, definitely.
I'm excited to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. when he gets called up. I saw him when he was playing with Bluefield because I was interning with the Pulaski Yankees. I saw him a few games when he was with Bluefield. It's going to be exciting watching him when he comes up.
That whole Blue Jays team, I think I was looking the other day, they have Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they have Craig Biggio's son, and they have someone else, another son of a former major leaguer. But that's pretty cool to see these young kids come up now.
All right, any final thoughts before we sign off for this week, Nick?
No, just enjoy these last few weeks of Counter League Baseball. Like you just said earlier, we've only got 3 weeks, but I know a lot of teams still have, 10, 11, 12 games left. So a lot of baseball, a lot of playoff positioning coming up.
Should be a good 3 weeks. The playoff races are heating up. All the division races are very close, so it should be a good last 3 weeks. Reminder, tonight's RCBL Online Game of the Week, Clover Hill at Stewart's Draft at 7:30 at the Diamond Club. Listen to it right here on rcblbaseball.com. Nick, thanks for joining me again. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. I'm Matthew Atkins. Thanks for listening to Foul Ball Area.